Tonight, I want to talk about defeating the devil. That's why we're here, isn't it? We want to defeat the devil in our lives. It is imperative that we defeat the devil in our lives. Because if we are unable to defeat him, then he will take over our lives, our souls, for all eternity. So the best way to do that, the only way to do that, of course, is to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus did several things throughout his life while he was here on this earth that literally defeated the works of the devil. And we know that the devil, everything about the devil is evil. In fact, we read from 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So this is telling us that Christ's purpose for coming was to indeed destroy the works of the devil. Now, we look at this word destroy or defeat. It means to weaken. It means to deprive of power. It means to abolish, to bring to naught, to dissolve, or to put off. If you go to Mr. Webster, these are the things that he will tell you that this word actually means. When it comes to defeating the devil, it means that we have to destroy his plans. The devil has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And he will do whatever it takes to fulfill the plan that he has. He has a plan, he has a purpose, and we must defeat his purpose, which is, of course, is to turn us away from God. He has many designs for that purpose, and of course, we have to ward those off as well. Schemes, we understand scheming. Probably every one of us in this room have schemed at one time or the other. We have to be careful of his schemes and his aims. Of course, his aim for you and me is to go with him to hell. That's his aim. And of course, that is the end result, spiritual death. So we know that the works of the devil is to basically control us and every part of our lives. You know, I think Peter said it best, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So when we think about Jesus Christ, we know that he came to defeat the devil and every purpose that the devil has against mankind. We also know that in doing this, Jesus became our Savior. Now what I want to do this evening, I want us to very quickly look at five different things that Jesus did that defeated the devil. And there's things that we know have taken place within Jesus' life. And we know how effective that it was. So let's talk very quickly about the five things that Jesus did that would have defeated the devil. First of all, his birth. His birth destroyed the false concepts of sin. You know, Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We know that when the angel spoke to Joseph in a dream, in Matthew 1, verse 21, he said to Joseph, "She will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." We know that the birth of Jesus was a miraculous event, and it was designed to bring Christ into the world, so that he could overcome the power of the devil. You know, it's commonly taught throughout religion today, Christian religion in particular, that men inherit sin from the first sin, which was committed in the Garden of Eden by Adam and Eve. And they suppose that sin comes from being flesh. And because we are all flesh, we all have sin. Now that is a common misconception about sin and man. But you know, Jesus proves this doctrine wrong. And we read of this in Hebrews 4 verse 15. We find out that Jesus had a fleshly body that lived on this earth without sin. Hebrew writer, Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus did not inherit Adam's sin, though he was born of the flesh, just as you and I were born of the flesh. So this tells us that sin does not come from our birth, from the flesh. Sin is not inherited. When God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect human beings. There was no sin in the lives of Adam and Eve. Sin is the result of practice, not of birth. The prophet Ezekiel proves this in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20. The prophet here says, "The soul who sins shall die. The son does not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself." Since Jesus was born into this world and made just like we are, and he was able to live his life without sin, tells us that we, like him, were born without sin. The only problem is we do not have the capacity to remain sin-free in our lives the way Jesus did. The second thing that Jesus did to destroy Satan was his baptism, because his baptism destroys the fear of sin. Jesus was baptized even though he had no sin. His life was perfect. Now, when Jesus was baptized, it was at the beginning of his ministry. When Jesus ascended into heaven some 2.5 years later, he was still sinless. No sin had been committed. We read of this event of Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. It says that Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized of him. And John tried to prevent this by saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me." And listen to what Jesus said here. Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." That's a very important statement that Jesus has just made. You see, Jesus knew that baptism fulfilled the righteousness of God. And even though there is no sin in the life of Jesus, he still felt the need to honor God's command of baptism. And so he did, even though he was sinless. We understand today that baptism washes our sins away. Acts 22, 16. "Why do you tarry? Arise, be baptized, wash your sins away." We understand that, don't we? We know what baptism does for us. Baptism did not do this for Jesus, because there were no sins to be washed away. But it was still a command of God that was going to continue throughout all Christianity, even through today. And Jesus honored that command of baptism. Baptism was required at the ascension of Christ, after the ascension of Christ, which came from Acts chapter 2. It is required today of you and me. Same requirement, same command, same honor that we give to God by obeying that command. Peter gave it first to the people in Jerusalem. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin." That's why we do it. And then it says in Acts 2:47, the result of this, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They were being saved. How? Because they honored God's command of baptism. So Jesus' example of this command breaks the devil's hold on a person in sin. So we don't have to fear sin and what it will do to us, because Jesus honored the command, and we must honor the command as well. The third thing that Jesus did to destroy Satan was through his miracles. Now, Jesus' miracles destroyed the idea that Satan is as powerful or more powerful than God. We know that Jesus performed many miracles throughout his ministry. You know, John says if you could put together all of the many wonderful works that Jesus did, the scrolls of the sky could not hold it. So we know he did far, far much more than what we have written about. His miracles were limitless. And the reason for his miracles showed us several things. First of all, it showed us the fact that he could forgive sin. Now, we know this from Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Here we find the story of the man with the palsy. It is interesting to read as this story develops. The first thing that Jesus said was, "Your sins are forgiven you." The man was sick of an infliction. Why would Jesus want to forgive his sins? He had the power to forgive sin. And he reiterates that when the scribes and the Pharisees kick up about the fact that he said, "I will forgive your sin." Just to let you know, Jesus said, "I'm just going to let you know, because I have the power to forgive sin, take up your bed and walk." And he did. So Jesus proved beyond a shadow of a doubt, not only can I heal the body, I can forgive sin. Jesus had control over nature. Well, in what ways? Well, he controlled the weather. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, he calmed the sea. He had control over the animal life. Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11, he caused the great catch of fish. He had control over the plant life. Matthew 21, 18, 19, when he cursed the fig tree who never bore fruit again. He controlled the sowing and the reaping. And he did so with the loaves and fishes, helping them multiply to feed the multitudes on two different occasions. He overcame the natural laws of the land and the sea by walking on the water. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. All of these things showed him to be God, showed him to have superiority over Satan. The devil is not as powerful as Jesus, as he would like for you to believe. Oh yes, he can do some miraculous things. And we have scripture that shows some of the miraculous things that the devil has done. But in every case, the miraculous power of God overcame it with ease. Number four, his death. His death destroyed the devil's appeal for man's pride. You see, Jesus died not because of his own sins. He died for the sins of others. Again, let's go to the Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He proved here, first of all, that we are the sinner. We are the one who commits the sins. We are the one who should suffer because of our sins. But and no one else who has walked this globe could ever claim sinless perfection like Jesus. And when we recognize that, we need to understand we are the sinner. We are the ones in need. We are the ones who need a Savior. And this should be a humbling experience. It should take away the haughty pride that we have when we live in sin. And then finally, one other thing he did to destroy the devil. And that was his resurrection. You see, Jesus' resurrection broke the devil's hold with us over the fear of death. Jesus defeated death by coming forth from the grave, proving to us that we too can defeat death. You know, if death was the end, if there was nothing that followed, then we should eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. In fact, that's what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. He said, if in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. But in other words, Paul is trying to get across to us, if what Jesus has done is not true, if what I'm telling you is not true, why even bother with any of this? Go ahead and live your life to the fullest physically on this earth. Live like you want to live. Do what you want to do, and you're going to die, and then it'll all be over. As one preacher friend of mine says, like the little dog Rover, when you're dead all over. And that's what we would be. But you see, we are different than the dog. We are different than the other animals of this earth because we have the living soul, which will live somewhere in eternity. And God knows that. And that's why Jesus came. The resurrection broke that fear that we should have over death. Because we know that he lived after death, and that we can live after death as well. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. That's not it. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, and by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Jesus defeated death. He defeated the devil. So there you have it. Jesus came for the purpose of defeating the devil. And that's exactly what he did. He did it through his birth. He did it through his baptism. He did it through his miracles. He did it through his death. He did it through his resurrection. Friends, there is no hold that the devil can have on you that Jesus Christ can't take away. There is nothing the devil can do to you that the devil cannot, or that Jesus cannot undo. Jesus has defeated the devil. So today, we simply need to come to the Lord. Allow him to defeat the devil in our lives. Allow us to be a part of him. To give our lives to him. To live for him. To sacrifice for him. And then we can live with him for all eternity. Can we beat the devil? Yes, we can. Because Jesus Christ did. Tonight, if you need to give your life to the Lord, if you need to come back to the Lord, you can defeat the devil by doing that. Do it tonight. Don't let the devil defeat you. Put your life in the hands of the one who has already defeated the devil. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.